right? Next week when the screens come back up, without Josh, who does virtually everything here, we're kind of missing that. So we're going to have to exercise our page turning or our, what do you call it, swiping? Yeah, exercise our fingers on the swiping to get there. In the meantime, I do have, if the kids want to come up, I have the bags. They're still here, ready to go. So any of you young kids, come on up and grab yourself a bag. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you that opportunities arise. Opportunities, Lord, that we don't always recognize or are ready for. But Lord, as we go through your word today, may we understand, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, Lord, through your Spirit that resides within us, the filling of the Holy Spirit will enable us, to embolden us, Lord, to bring your word to others. Lord, to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share our story, your story, Lord, with everyone we know. Just thank you that those opportunities do come along, Lord. And as we find out today, Lord, we need to trust. And as earlier we sang, we need to trust. And not just trust, Lord, but we need to obey your word, Lord. And step out of our comfort zone. And Lord, just be willing to allow the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, Lord, to speak through us to others. And for that this morning, Lord, I just thank you that you are with me. Lord, and these are your words, not my own. Lord, this is what you put on my heart. Allow me to, Lord, just express what your thoughts are, your words are, Lord, truly this morning. Thank you again for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for these moments, Lord, that we can look back on and say thank you, Lord, that I did act. Lord, that you did embolden me and you did give me the chance, Lord. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. If you've been fortunate to be part of the study on Sunday nights, Galatia, of course, we know is all of Asia Minor. And, boy, we can almost tie this together to our normal Sunday morning sermons, which tie in Acts, right? And one of the problems, I call it a problem, is behind Paul as Paul traveled, establishing the different churches, who came behind him? The Judaizers. Those who would come in and say, no, the gospel is incomplete. You might say, you need to be more like us. This is our religion, right? We're the nation of Israel. We're God's people. You as Gentiles, you just can't walk in like that. You know, there is the law. There are these traditions that you have to follow. But thankfully, Paul, through his epistles, had explained and written to these churches, Galatia too especially, that this is not true. If anything, when I presented the gospel to you, you understood. You took my word, you took the truth, and applied it to your lives. What's happened since then? What has taken you away from the truth? Well, the world has a lot of influence. Even, hate to say it, other religions can have influence on our lives because we hear what seems to be the truth, though slightly off. It can take us away. Well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit, oh, let me get my notes here. Walking, when you read in God's Word, what does walking mean? Walking is more like a metaphor. A metaphor for life. That is our daily walk. Are we moving forward in our life as a Christian, as a Christ follower, or are we just sitting back? Well, in order to walk, you have to move, right? You have to put one foot in front of the other. So today, a couple of things this morning. Do we have the Holy Spirit? How do I know that? I know someone's asking out there, well, how do I really know? Because I haven't experienced what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's another subject that we'll maybe touch on both. And that is God within us, the Holy Spirit, and then being filled with the Spirit. If you remember the disciples in Acts chapter 2, right? The Holy Spirit came down like tongues of fire upon them. And they were emboldened. They were filled with the Spirit. They were able to share the word. While it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that they were able to share in different tongues, it was an extra filling of the Holy Spirit that allowed them to do that. Now, if we go back to John in chapter 20, you're thinking, wait a minute, didn't they already have the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus, before his ascension in 20, he breathed into his disciples the Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. So we as believers, we have that. What we want in our life, if we walk in the Spirit, is that second episode, that extra helping, right? The filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what helps us to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis, moving forward, choosing to do something rather than choosing to not do something. So in chapter 5, I'm going to start with verse 16. I'll go ahead and read that to the end. So if you want to read along with me. In my Bible, it's page 1157. I don't know what you got. But all right. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, by the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, this is, of course, addressed to the Galatians, but this applies to every single one of us. You know, how do I know that I have the Holy Spirit in me? That's probably the first question, because you're told, you know, that's the sealing. That's, you know, you're saved because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Well, how can I take your word for it? Well, don't take my word. Let's go, you know, go to the word. Let's find the truth. And I'll turn there. It's up to you if you want to follow me. But Romans 8, 9. And I'm almost there. Okay, Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Your Spirit is in you. One more passage. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen. Don't doubt, trust. Trust that the Holy Spirit is within you. When you heard the gospel, you believed the truth. You took that step forward. You repented of your sins. You asked God into your heart, you know, asking for that forgiveness. Lord, you, at that moment, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. That is God residing within us. How often do we when we walk out these doors during the week, it's the farthest thing from our memory. The fact that every step I take, God is taking that step with me. When I'm walking on a daily basis, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I allowing the Spirit to lead me? Not just lead me, but am I acting on what the Spirit is asking or telling me to do? Good questions. Well, chapter 5, it gave us a good picture, didn't it? It tells us the battle that we face every day. And believe me, without the Holy Spirit, you know, who's winning that battle? The battle is between our flesh, our sinful nature, and that of the Holy Spirit. That is God who resides within us. And our actions really display which we hold higher, doesn't it? If I don't listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and act on it, I tend to go the other way. It's one or the other. I'm not Mr. Neutral. I'm going to act on my flesh, the fleshly desires, the desires that are opposite of what God would want would have for me. Fortunately, it is a battle, right? And we learned that the two don't agree. The two are opposed, right? The works of the flesh, the Holy Spirit within me. There is no way the two will ever come together. I wrote it down here somewhere, but it's funny thing is I always think back as a kid, and my wife accuses me of having this useless knowledge. I'm pulling this one out of my pocket. I'm going to pull this out of my pocket and use it today. And some of you are going to go, yeah, it was useless. But you know, I think of my forefathers, our forefathers. And I say our forefathers, I go back to, the Warner Brothers. Yeah, some of you get it, the Warner Brothers. Looney Tunes, there you go, Looney Tunes. Saturday morning, we got our Bible lesson by watching cartoons. What are you talking about, Jerry? Well, do you remember those cartoons where the guy's trying to make a decision or the character's trying to make a decision and all of a sudden on one shoulder pops up what? The sinful nature, the devil version, right? And then the other side pops up the angel doing this thing. It's a constant struggle, isn't it? You know, it's a cartoon, but boy, it is real. I struggle every day. And the good thing is I struggle. If I didn't struggle, something would be wrong. But since I struggle, you know, I can do this in, right? And allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me and act on what God wants me to do. Sorry, I'm going way off. I'm so far off of what I was doing. But that's okay, right? That's okay. Well, in Ezekiel, if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, let's go to the Old Testament. For a moment. Ezekiel was around in the time of the exile to Babylon, and actually he was in Babylon also exiled. God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel to the nation of Israel, who was in captivity, which was in exile. And unfortunately, they were suffering the judgment God brought down on them. But through Ezekiel, you know, Ezekiel came in, and you'll have to kind of figure out for yourself exactly when he spoke to the nation of Israel. But well, I think it was either he was 30 years old or was in the 30th year or 5 years here, fifth month, I don't know exact time. But it was early in captivity, and they still had a long time to go. How long were they there? Like 70 years? Yeah, 70 years. And I think he died even before they left captivity. He was 55. He only lived to be like 55. But God's word to the nation of Israel says, you know, you're suffering judgment, but those of you who are keeping faithful, those of you, while even here, can remain faithful to me, here's a picture of what is to come. In Ezekiel 36, I'm just going to narrow it down to a couple of verses. And we're talking the promise of the Spirit of God. And that is in verses 26 and 27. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. God has not forgotten his faithful, has he? I will, despite where you're at, the new covenant that is to come, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to remove that heart of stone, that heart of stone that forced you to go into judgment. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I'm going to soften that heart. And what's the spirit going to do? It's going to cause you to follow me, covenants, rules, whatever it said here, but obey my rules. But the idea is they haven't been forgotten. And God just didn't say, hey, we're going to go, there's going to be a whole new temple and stuff like this, but I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to reside in you. In that new covenant, we have that today, don't we? It's something we don't think about. But a promise given way back then to the nation in captivity is a promise that applies to us each and every day here, some 2,000 plus years later. Well, at that time, 2,500 years later. Huh? Okay, is that better? It seems when, you know, while the heart of stone is removed, we still struggle with our flesh. That sinful nature. And like I showed you earlier, there's that struggle between the Holy Spirit trying to lead us. And our sinful nature, you know, I can say the devil, but it's not, it's us. It's that sinful flesh that resides within us. Those wants and desires that need to have immediate satisfaction. You know, we think about the here and now and how we feel versus the eternity and what it's going to be like. I use the term that we practice with the Holy Spirit I thought about the social distancing. Does that apply to our lives? Do we social distance ourselves from the Holy Spirit? We always kind of are at arm's length, aren't we? You know, the Holy Spirit is 6 feet away from me, and I'll always maintain that. I want the safe zone. I want to be able to act on what I want to do, and that is to live with the desires of my flesh. I'll listen when it's good. I'll narrow that distance, and I'll listen. But for now, a lot of us tend to do that. We tend to keep the Holy Spirit at arm's distance. How do you do that when it resides within you? When God is here in your heart. You know, if you go back to verse 1 in chapter 5, I'll just read that for us here. Paul is explaining to the Galatians, even though the Judaizers are telling you many different things, I'm going to remind you this one thing. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Free from death, free from the penalties of the law. Set us free. Free to do what? Free to do anything our flesh wants, right? No, that's not what we're talking about here. There's a freedom in Christ. There's a freedom that we have now that doesn't have us subject ourselves to the old ways, the laws, the traditions. No, there's a freedom to love now, isn't there? A freedom to love what God is doing for us, what God has done for us. Not this guilt every year of having to go make a sacrifice to atone for your sins. No, God loved us so much that happened, and it happened once, and that once carries us forever, doesn't it? The Spirit is active and working in us. And if we're not yielding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, then what are we doing? We're allowing the flesh to rule, aren't we? Yeah. Verse 16 and 17, I'll go back here. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other. Why? To keep you from doing the things you want to do. It's a good thing we struggle, isn't it? How many times do we ask ourselves, should I or shouldn't I? You know what I used to tell my daughters? Or tell other people? If you have to ask yourself, you already know the answer, don't you? It's true. Where did that answer come from? You know, who prompted us to struggle with the choice? God is leading us. But what do we do? We listen a lot, but we don't do anything, do we? This is not the good news. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. If it's not enough to give you a list this long, we always add at the end, everything else, right? So it's not just this list, but everything like these. Guilty of looking at social media, and I won't say which one, but guilty. And lately, I've seen a list come out, and the list could be 20, 30 things, right? And you want to grade yourself by how many of these things you have done or haven't done. Have eaten or haven't eaten, right? We've seen those. Oh, man, things I've eaten. I've got 99 out of 100. No, like my brother said, I won't touch okra. I don't care what you say. But 99 out of 100, I've eaten everything else. Well, how would you like to put yourself against this list? If I put myself against this list, I would fail. Why? Have I done everything? Of course not. I don't know, because if I've thought about it, I've done it, haven't I? So I'm guilty of everything plus things like these. There's nothing that says I'm good. If anything, the flesh says everything. If I follow the desires of my flesh, I'm doing everything that, oh my goodness, everything that falls under any one of these categories. This list refers to the works of the flesh. That means, when I say works of the flesh, that means you had to work, didn't you? You had to do something. And it's on you. When I say works, that means you did it. You can be prideful of it. Your ego can be this big, right? Because you did it. It was your works. But this is quite the opposite. You can take the pride angle, you can take the ego, but what's happening is, no, this is saying quite the opposite, because at the end you get the verdict, or you get the results of what happens. And that result is, in the end of 21, I warn you. As I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wait a minute, aren't I saved? Haven't I been sealed with the Holy Spirit? What if I do those things? Then I have to tell you, I have to question that. I wonder, if you've heard the truth, the gospel, you've made the commitment, you've turned your life over, you've been reborn, how can you not listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit? How can you listen to your flesh and turn yourself over to that? So, I mean, my opinion only. When Paul's referring to this, those who continue to do this, is I warn you, don't fall into those traps. God is in you. You are saved. This won't happen. And the good news is he follows this. He doesn't leave us hanging, right? Paul shares what I call an aha. But here it is. Here's the good news. If you are led by the Spirit And then if you walked by the Spirit, in other words, if you're led, you know, you're being told what to do, but you just didn't listen, you walked in the Spirit. You walked by the Spirit. You took that step and allowed God to work in your life, and wow, you just acted on it. Well, here it is, verses 22 and 23, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, when I listed that, I was going to go in and put love. Okay, definition of love. Joy, definition of joy. But you know what? Rather than do that, what I would like to do is just repeat each one, but put walk in front of that. First fruit. Now, when I say fruit, this is all one, right? One basket of fruit, not pick and choose. This is all a result of walking in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in joy. Walk in peace. You know, love, joy, peace go together. And you know that. Because when you walk into a Hobby Lobby, that's what it says, right? Love, peace, joy, everywhere you turn. How do you pick those three? Well, they're the first three. They go together. Right? Take it from Hobby Lobby. They know what they're doing. Those are the first fruits, first of the fruit that we enjoy if we walk in the Spirit. Those are produced here. Those are an internal thing, love that we express outward, the joy in knowing God. The goodness went too far. Go back. Peace. Love, peace, and joy. Those things that we, as being followers of Christ, being Christians, Lord, those things that the Lord has blessed us that we can enjoy. The second group, the second three, patience, kindness, and goodness. Again, walk in patience, walk in kindness, walk in goodness. I haven't seen those at Hobby Lobby yet, but I'm sure they're coming down the road. Those are less about how we feel, isn't it? We can feel the love, the peace, and the joy. But this is more about our relationship with others. Through walking in the Holy Spirit in our lives, our relationship with others, these are some of the things that we express. And hopefully the others receive from us. And that is, we are patient, not quick to judge, right? Our kindness shows through. The goodness, those truly are from God. Those are a fruit of the Spirit. The last three. When you look at the last three, we talk about walking in faithfulness, walking in gentleness, walking in self-control. These are a little bit different. I look at these as virtues that were created through the discipline of the Holy Spirit. As we continue through and get away from the desires of the flesh, right? These things involve, we weren't always faithful, gentle, and in occupation of self-control, were we? No, those are things that came eventually to us. And that, my friends, that is the basket. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't get one here, one there, but it's almost a progression to where it's all applied if we walk in the Spirit. So again, hopefully, if you're engaged with the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, allowing God to lead us, but acting on that too, well then hopefully others will see this in you. Wow. What does it mean to live a godly lifestyle? What does it mean to, what is it called? Lifestyle evangelism, right? What does it mean to attract others? Well, it has nothing to do with us. That's God's doing, right? It's God working in us. We just have to listen, my friends. We have to walk in the Spirit. Verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Isn't that great? Not only does it kind of, God separates us from the flesh, right? We've crucified the flesh. We no longer have to become a slave to it. Let me state it again. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Free from our old selves. Free from our flesh. Free from what we used to be. We do enjoy a life apart from the flesh. Even what I call in this upside down world that we live in. It's funny, I look at self-control. And I've always considered myself someone who has good self-control. And a couple months ago, about 20 pounds ago, I had to exercise self-control and get rid of the carbs in my life, right? Otherwise, I'm going to start having to take other medications that I really don't want to. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. Well, self-control. My goodness, I've had rice virtually every day of my life. You know how hard it is to do that? You know, I promise not to throw my wife under the bus. She says, every time you get up there, just say something about me. I promised, didn't I? Well, yesterday, you know the farmer's market over here? We go over there, and I don't know what it is. It was Nan, right? She makes these pot holders, these bowl cozies. Self-control. We've got more bowl cozies than we have bowls in the house. Now, I have to admit, I love my Seahawks bowl cozy. I didn't ruin one thing, but all the other ones I could care less about. But yeah, you have a stack of bowl cozies like this and then this many bowls in the cupboard. Self-control, last of the fruits. I say that with humor, but it is so true, isn't it? In our life, in the flesh, we don't have that self-control anymore. Or we didn't have that self-control. Isn't it nice to know that with God's leading, we have that now? Well, here are five applications or five steps that we can follow. Now, I can't say I came up with these myself. These are from John Piper's book, Desiring God. If you haven't read it, it's a good one for you. So he came up with five things, five steps toward walking in the Spirit. You know, what are five things we can do? Because first of all, a lot of us, you know, we can acknowledge now that, okay, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What now? What comes next? And a lot of us haven't experienced what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have that little extra, what I call an extra helping, that little super spirit, God working in us to where we can feel it. Well, the first thing we need to do of the five steps, number one is to acknowledge. What does that mean? Acknowledge in our hearts that we are weak. If it were up to us, I'm sorry, we would fail. I think the flesh would win, wouldn't it? Even Paul says that. You don't have to go here, but in Romans, Paul says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, and that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do what I want, or I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Tongue twister. But it is true, isn't it? As much as I want to do good, it's hard. I end up doing the things that really aren't good. What a wretched man I am. I think I didn't include that. But Paul says, you know, I am what I am. It's unfortunate. Acknowledge that apart from God, This kind of holds true here. Jesus said in John 15:5, and this is the end of the picture of God being the vine dresser, of Jesus being the vine, that apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, everything we do is our own works. Now, I talked about it earlier, works of the flesh. Apart from God, we have to acknowledge we are weak, we can't do anything. Put away the pride, put away the ego. It's not about us. Number two, second step, pray. You know, pray what we read in Ezekiel, what Ezekiel talked about, you know, what was to come in the new covenant. Pray that would happen to you, that the hardness of your heart would be taken away, that your heart would be softened, that the Holy Spirit would do just that, cause you to, what? Obey. Follow his rules. You can call it that, but allow the Spirit in you to bring you to the point of loving God, not loving yourself. Get past that. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a spirit, a right spirit within me. I think that's one of the Psalms we've all read, haven't we? Apply it. Pray. Pray those words. Step number three. This is the third step involved in walking the Spirit. And it's walking by faith. Walking in faith. When I say trust, faith, both go together, don't they? Simply count on it from God's word that the Spirit who made us alive when we were dead, right? Who brought us to the saving grace? The Spirit of God brought us. We can say we did it ourselves, right? The pride, the ego, there it is. But we didn't. God pulled us to him. Through the power of his Spirit, he pulled us through to him. Trust that that Spirit who brought you to him will in your life I have to read these words. It's easier to read this. The Spirit who made us when we were dead in sin wills our holiness and has the power to achieve what he wills. Allow the Holy Spirit to achieve in us what the Father wants in our lives. Step number four towards our walk in the Holy Spirit is act, to do something. Now, what happens if, this is step four, right? Not step one. If we took step four and moved it to step one, if we acted without the acknowledgement, without prayer, without trust, who's doing the acting? You got it. It is us that's doing the acting. We're not allowing God to work through the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing that to happen. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking in ourselves. So the fourth step, after you've acknowledged your helplessness without him, prayed for his enablement, and trusted in his deliverance, is now to act. Act the way that you know is right. Get up and do something. Throw some fruit around. Yeah, can you picture that? Oh, throw some fruit around. Yeah. Throw some fruit around. Share the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, to act is to actually do something, to walk. When you walk in the Spirit, as we learned earlier, when we talked about the fruits, walk in each one of those, that's what we're doing. We're sharing. We're sharing with others. We're walking in the Spirit. We're allowing God to take us places we've never been before, to share things we've never had the boldness to share. Last thing, step number five, is thank. Thankfulness. Thank you. Thank God for everything that he does for us and through us. My goodness, I thank him for my food every night. I can stretch a little bit further. I can include everything else. No, the fact is, we have to be thankful for everything God gives us, everything that we have. You know, we go day to day without that acknowledgement, without being thankful. Yet we continue to be blessed, right? We are. Well, you know what? It's time to be thankful. You know, lift it up to God. Lord, just thank you. You know, I don't just pray to you, Lord, in the times where I need something, things are down. Lord, I am being thankful and praising you for everything that you do, everything you have done and everything you're going to do in my life. So in those five steps I gave you, those will help you to walk in the Spirit. Verse 25 and 26 of Galatians. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Does that sound like walking? It is, isn't it? If we live by the Spirit, if we're active, we're walking, we're taking and keeping step with the Spirit. But above all, let us not become conceited. You know, we got away from our old self. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Self-control, the kindness, the goodness, the peace, the joy, the fruit that we can share with others, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It takes us away from this last verse. So I would encourage you, as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to kind of turn to each other and encourage each other to do that, to walk in the Spirit. I would even encourage you to share a moment when God has, through the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe led you, pushed you to do something that you may have otherwise not done, or maybe the opposite. But there was a time, right, in each one of our lives we did something, you know, and it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but it was my walk in the Spirit, that walk in the Spirit which allowed the filling of the Holy Spirit to give me, to enable me to take that step. So do we have the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Are we walking in the Spirit? Well, I gave you 5 practical applications in order to take you in that direction, to walk in the Spirit. Tell your story to someone else. Let someone else enjoy or understand what it means to see someone walking in the Spirit. And believe me, it'll rub off. People will start to understand. When God said he took away the heart of stone and he put his Spirit in there, put your ear up to your heart, listen. God will speak to you. You just have to act on it. Walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, exactly, Lord. It is not about us. We can't do it ourselves. Lord, we acknowledge through our own pride and our own ego that we want to. But the fleshly desires, Lord, they just rear their ugly head. That sinful nature that, Lord, that was a part of us. Lord, if we just listen to you, you who are within us, Lord, listen to your Holy Spirit, Lord, allow you to lead us. We can be like the apostles, the disciples who, the day of Pentecost, Lord, were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of you. And I mean the power to reach out and witness to others. That emboldening, the ability to reach out at that point, at that time, Lord, in the different tongues, Lord. But I know up until that time, Lord, they sat. They chose to wait. As instructed, mind you, as instructed, they waited for you, Lord. But while they had the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, Lord, they were not yet ready to move. But with the filling, Lord, you showed yourself. Lord, you were glorified through them. Lord, allow us to be part of that. Allow us who are a dwelling of your Spirit, Lord, allow us to receive the extra filling of the Holy Spirit that we may be like the apostles, Lord, and take that extra step, Lord, allowing you to work through us, Lord, to give us that boldness, to enable us, Lord, to just walk, simply walk in the Spirit, Lord, for all you do for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, every day. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.